I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. And I want to complete the message that we started 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, and conclude this little series that we've been doing on the armor of God called The Warrior. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Through the last couple of weeks, we have talked about being prayer warriors. We've talked about being a warrior on our knees. We talked about being strong in the Lord and what that means the first week. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, in verse 10. The week after that, we talked about standing strong in the Lord and having done all to stand. We talked about the enemy, that we are not at war with one another, but we are at war with the unseen forces in an unseen world. Amen? That person sitting beside you is not your enemy. We may have differences of opinions, but we are not fighting each other. That's what our nation needs to know. Amen? That's what our nation needs to know. We talked about how we do battle in our minds, that most of the time the battles that we wage is in our mind, where the enemy puts doubts and fears and temptations and struggles, and we have to deal with those with the armor of God. We talked about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness last week, the sandals of peace, and the shield of faith. We're going to conclude today. We're going to start at the shield of faith and then work our way through to the end of the passage and trust that the Lord will use this to bless your heart. Before I start, I want to take just a moment to welcome Linda Scharstein to the service. Linda and Steve were on our prayer sheet many times, and what looked to be the end for Steve, God gave him months in bonus of what should have happened. You prayed for them. And then we received word that the Lord took Steve home to be with him. And you prayed for Linda. And she's here today very bravely in both services. We've invited Linda to come to camp because she and her husband Steve loved being at the camp. They loved doing everything. And so we asked her to come, and hoping that that would be kind of a respite for her, but not a physical rest, but maybe knowing she was doing something that her husband loved to do and she loved to do as well. Linda, we want you to know we love you, dear, and our hearts are saddened at your loss, but Steve is with the Lord today, and he's not fighting anymore, but we love you, and we know it's very difficult for you to be in the service, but you bravely are here. I want you to tell Linda that we love her. Would you do that today? Amen. 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 She came all the way from Florida, all the way from Florida. We're so sorry you have to live in that state. With all that sunshine and sand and all those hurricanes. And but we are delighted, Linda, that you are here, and we love you, and our prayers continue to be with you. Verse 14, please. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. We talked about the belt of truth last week and how important it is to have something to stand on and believe in. And that is the truth of God's word. Amen? We talked about the belt kind of holding all this together and how important it is to know the truth of the gospel and the truth of the word of God. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, verse 14. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about last week how important it is to know that we stand not in our own good works, but we stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is what communion is all about. We were not good enough, but Jesus made us righteous through his act on the cross. Amen? Through his sacrifice. And we wear that as a magnificent breastplate of righteousness. We talked about the sandals of peace and how important it is to have peace when you do battle. To know even in the heat of the battle in your mind when you're dealing with temptations or struggles or doubts or fears or whatever it is the enemy would send your way, to be able to stand with peace, knowing that you walk in peace, that you march in peace. How many know today that God gives peace that passes understanding? Amen. It gives peace that passes understanding. Mary Lou and Rosella, you're here with us. You just moved back too. Welcome. God bless you. You both look great. Wow, that's great. But you really moved back to a good spot. Yeah, I'm seeing all kinds of people that move back. You may leave, but you are coming back. Amen. It's important that we stand in peace. And then last week we ended with the shield of faith and the fiery darts, and how important it is to recognize the enemy wants to send fiery darts into your mind. Temptations or doubts or fears, fiery darts that were lit literally with the hope they would strike the warrior and cause great fear. And yet the Roman soldier would take his shield and he would probably dampen it with water so that those fiery darts would be extinguished when they hit it. How many know that when the enemy sends a fiery dart, you need to get your shield up right now? Amen. The last thing you want to do is to let a fiery dart keep burning in your mind. When the devil sends a fiery dart and says you are not worthy, you get your shield up and you put it out right now. Amen? When someone says an unkind word, don't you let it burn. You get up your shield of faith and you put it out right now. Amen? You just understand that many times hurting dogs bite. And you understand that we need to forgive people, even if, you know, what they did was inadvertently, or even if it was on purpose, we need to forgive them. That's the way you quench the fiery darts, and you do it in faith, right? With the shield of faith. So we talked a lot about that last week. So we're going to begin this morning with verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. This wonderful helmet that this Roman soldier would wear that not only identified, you know, who they were, but it protected their mind, it protected their head, it protected their face, this helmet of salvation. And I think it's very important to understand that as part of the armor of God, that helmet was critical to the protection of that Roman soldier, but it's critical to the protection of the believer. And the key word here is salvation. How many are glad that you have salvation today? Amen? Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what communion is about. What is salvation? Salvation means we have been saved, we have been delivered, we have been set free by the power of Jesus Christ. And now we are a believer, we are a follower of Jesus Christ. We call that salvation. And how many know you can't buy salvation, right? That's why we don't try to sell it around here. You can't buy it. Jesus paid for it on the cross, and it's free. Amen? Salvation is free, but listen, it's not cheap. It cost God everything. It cost God His Son. It cost Jesus everything. It cost Him His life. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. And it becomes a helmet that we can put on in this battle with the enemy. And above everything else, the enemy needs to know you're dealing with a born-again Christian. You're dealing with a believer. You're dealing with someone who has Jesus on their side. How many know Jesus is on your side? Amen? That helmet of salvation, the very fact that I am saved is a helmet for me that I can put on in the heat of the battle and know that no matter what the enemy throws at me, I am saved. I am still saved. Sometimes you go through a battle in your mind with temptations and maybe you fall a few times and you wonder, am I really saved? Well, that comes from the devil. The devil is the one who puts doubts in your mind of whether you're really saved or not. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you've asked Him to forgive you of your sin, the Bible says that you are saved. Amen. And you can take that to the bank. Come on. You can take it to the bank. You have salvation no matter what the devil says. The devil says sometimes you're a lousy Christian, and maybe sometimes we are, but that doesn't mean you're not saved. You are saved, praise God. Bible says we are saved to the uttermost. And so thank you, Lord, for the helmet of salvation that we can wear throughout this experience of dealing with the devil. This helmet of salvation, it's our backing. How many know that Jesus is with us in the battle, right? He's our defender. He's in back of us. He's ahead of us. And that's kind of what this helmet of salvation represents. When I was a little boy, I lived for a short time in a town called Keys, California. Anybody ever hear of Keys, California? All right. Jim has. Maybe one or two. Keys, California. Well, it's near Modesto. How many's heard of Modesto? Okay. Modesto, Turlock, Siri. Well, Keys is a little bitty farming community. It was then. It's probably all part of the Metroplex now in Modesto. But when I was a little kid, it was a little out of the way place. It's where I got baptized in water in a irrigation canal with about this much water. They baptized me in water in Keys, California. I think I'm the only one in the building that can say I've been baptized in Keys, California. Well, the school system was rough there. A lot of rough and tumble kids, a lot of bullies. And when I started school, I experienced these bullies, and they would chase me down the alleys all the way home, just threatening to beat me up. And I remember one time I got to my house and my mother stepped out in the alley, and I don't know what she had in her hand, but she grabbed something, and those bullies turned around and took off because mama was there. So I got to school one day, and this big kid, and he was big. He was in a higher grade, and he was big, and he was strong. And he came up to me one day, and I thought, oh, Jesus, my life flashed before my eyes. And he said, you're new here, aren't you? And I said, I sure am. He says, and those kids have been bullying you, haven't they? And I said, yeah, they have. And he says, well, I want you to know I'm your bodyguard from now on. I said, really? He said, that's right. I'm going to walk you from your house to school and from school to your house. And those guys aren't going to bother you ever again because I'm your bodyguard. And I went, all right. And boy, I put the strut on. I'll tell you, I walked around school, and those kids who bullied me, they came, and when they saw this guy, they turned around and they went the other direction. They never bothered me again. And I just felt like a rock star. You know, I hired my bodyguard. That's it. But that's what Jesus does for us in the battle. Amen. The devil comes along and he thinks, I'm going to defeat you and I'm going to destroy you. We put on the helmet of salvation, and Jesus is standing there right behind us, right before us, right beside us. And the devil will not defeat us because we have a bodyguard. Amen. We have someone that's in the fight with us. And that's the helmet of salvation. And then the Bible talks in verse 17 of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. It's the only offensive weapon in this list. The sword of the Spirit. The powerful sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, we understand that the Word of God here is the word rhema. It's a word from God. But many times God will not only give us a rhema word, but He will give us a logos word as well. He will remind us of a scripture. He will bring forth a scripture for us to use in the battle. Or He will give us a rhema word. Well, He will speak something to us and assure us of our victory. And He will combine those things many times as a sword for us. And everybody knows what a sword does, right? It cuts back and forth. It's a double-edged sword. It's a sword that the Bible says cuts to where soul and spirit meet. And we have a sword, and that sword is the Word of God. That sword is a word from God. These Bibles are more important to us than we can ever imagine. When we're going through a rough time and we're battling in our minds, we bring out the sword. The Lord will speak a word to us. He'll give us a prophetic word. He'll give us a word that speaks peace to us and strength to us, and we get a hold of that. Or He might remind us of a scripture, and we begin to quote that scripture. How many know that's what Jesus did in the wilderness when He fought with the devil? How many know He used the Word of God? Amen? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And you don't have to even know, you know, where it is. You can say, somewhere I know in the Bible it says that God is my victor, or my more than a conqueror. Well, the devil, he's probably going to say, well, where is it found at? Where's scripture and verse? You know, you don't need to know scripture and verse. It's good if you do, but if you don't, quote it anyway. Amen? If you don't know the whole thing, quote a little bit of it. I've told you this story before. I'll tell it again because I'm a senior citizen, and that gives me a, you know, I have my AARP card. That gives me the right to repeat things, all right? That the pastor's wife in Southern California got into her car, and a robber jumped in the back seat behind her, and he had a gun to her the back of her head, and he said, "Drive away," and she got all flustered, and she was trying to think of a scripture, and she knew there was one in the Bible about God's feathers protecting her, but all she could remember was feathers, so she just started screaming, "Feathers, feathers, 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 feathers," and the guy jumped out of the car and said, "That's a crazy woman," and he took off and didn't bother her. Thank God for feathers, amen. You see, that's what we need to remember about the enemy. Just let him know that you're standing on the word of God. That's like a sword of the Spirit. God will give you an assurance. He'll give you a rhema word where we can say, "Lord, I'm counting on what you just shared with me. I'm counting on what you just said to me." And when you're doing battle in your mind, the sword of the Spirit is such an incredible weapon that God uses to help us defeat the enemy. And we have to stand on that word. We have to stand in faith and believe that God means what he says and says what he means. Absolutely. And then finally, the Bible kind of enrobes all of this armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. In verses 18 and 19, the Bible seems to just enrobe all of this armor in prayer. Prayer becomes the overriding thing by which we use the armor of God. And so as we're doing battle in our minds, as we're doing battle with the enemy or thoughts that come into our minds, we begin to pray, we begin to call upon God. And as we do, we kind of enrobe all of these things that we are to use in this battle with the enemy. We have done that today. We have fallen on our knees and we've prayed for our nation. We've called upon God for the needs of others. We have prayed for ourselves during the time of communion. Prayer is such an incredible part of the armor of God. It's the vehicle by which the armor of God is carried. It is everything. It's the sense of who we are as believers. You see, the Roman soldier could stand there with all of the armaments, and that's what the illusion that Paul gives us, or what he's alluding to. I'm sorry, the word alluding. He's alluding to these things. He's alluding to a Roman soldier as he's all wrapped up with the armor of God. But then there was something else about a Roman soldier. There was the sense that they belonged to something bigger than themselves. That they weren't just an individual soldier, but they were part of a unit. They were part of a legion, if you will. And they were under the direction of a captain, but they knew that they had the orders came from the emperor. They were really soldiers representing the emperor, and so the very sense of a Roman soldier was, "We're the best in the world," and that's what they believed. They believed they were the best in the world. They had defeated the Greeks. They had defeated for many years the barbarian hordes that would come in. But eventually the Roman armies would fail, because earthly armies will fail. But there was something about a Roman soldier. He took pride in the fact that he represented Rome. And I want to tell you, if that is true with an earthly soldier, that has got to be doubly true with a soldier of the Lord. Amen? We have the armor of God, but we are enrobed with the sense there's something bigger than us, and that is the power of prayer, and we represent the captain of our faith, Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen? We stand shoulder to shoulder together. We're not in this battle by ourselves. We're not in this battle alone, but we're with other brothers and sisters of the Lord. And as the army of God, we represent Jesus Christ. And that is the sense of prayer just enrobes us. And so we have the privilege of praying. And God doesn't care whether it's the little child praying or whether it's the seasoned saint that prays. God hears all those prayers. Amen? God hears all those prayers. And you see, the enemy sometimes will try to lie to you and say, "Your prayers are not being heard." If you'll be honest with yourself, there are sometimes you've prayed and you feel like your prayers have gone just about as high as the ceiling. And that's about as high as they go, right? But how many know that's the enemy? Our prayers, the minute they are prayed unto God, they reach the throne room of God where Jesus makes intercession for us. And you stand in faith and you have to believe that. That's why we keep on praying even when we don't feel like praying, right? Even when we feel like they're not reaching any farther than the ceiling, we say, Lord, I believe by faith they are going upward to you and they're coming before God. It doesn't matter who you are. Sometimes we think, well, prayer is just for the seasoned saint of God. It's for those veterans in the faith. They're the ones that God really listens to. No, God hears all of our prayers. It says, how does God do that? Well, it's because he's God. Amen? He's God. God is like a mom. She can hear all kids talking at the same time. She can hear them talking in the other room. That's what moms can do. Amen? That's what God does. God can hear our prayers. And he robes in a prayer. Finally, prayer is a battle. Prayer is a battle. We've talked about standing in the Lord. But sometimes we stand the tallest when we fall on our knees. And that's how the warriors do battle, is on our knees. I want you to watch this video and listen to this song and be encouraged as warriors. Be encouraged with the armor of God that your prayers make a difference. Whether they're short prayers or they're long prayers, doesn't matter. Just know that when you pray, you are a warrior and you can make a difference in this world. You can make a difference in this nation. You can make a difference in your children's lives and your grandchildren's lives. You can make a difference if you see yourself as a warrior. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you this morning that we have joined together as the family of God. We've joined together in this battle, Lord, this warfare, Lord, in prayer today. We've prayed for one another. We've prayed for ourselves. We've prayed for our nation, our state, our city, Lord. We have joined with other believers across this nation, and we have lifted up our voices to God. We have done the warfare, and we thank you that this battle is not ours, but it belongs to the Lord, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Father, for anyone that might be going through a battle right now, we pray for them, Lord, that they would remain strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that they would stand strong in the Lord, that, Lord, they would fight the battle on their knees before God, that every one of us would understand, Lord, that we are powerful warriors for God when we pray, when we call out on the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that today. Go with us as we go our separate ways today, Father. Be with us at the camps. Touch those children this week. Touch the junior highs next week, the senior highs the week after. Be with counselors and cabin leaders and workers, Lord, and all of the staff, God. Be with the churches as they travel from all over the Northwest to be at those camps, Lord. Father God, we thank you for the privilege that we have of prayer, for taking the armor of God, putting it on every single day, and marching for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are the soldiers of the cross. We give you thanks today and praise in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Let's just tell Jesus we thank him. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed. Have a great day. And we'll see you next week. God bless you.